I'm joined by Michael Hanna, Senior Fellow at the Century Foundation. Michael, you've warned against overreading the fall of Qusair. Why?
Well, I think some limitations that the Assad regime has faced and continues to face are still going to be determinative in terms of the outcome of this war, which in my estimation it looks to be somewhere approximating strategic stalemate. And I don't think Qusair changes that. I think it obviously is a big blow, not just sort of tactically, but I think psychologically for the rebels. But we've seen these ebbs and flows, these tactical ebbs and flows before, and we've seen people get carried away in terms of their judgments, whether it was the offensive against Homs or some of the rebel gains at the time of the assassination at the last summer. Some of the rebel gains in the fall and around December are taking border outposts and sweeping up in the north. And people have made far-reaching conclusions that have assumed that these temporary shifts in momentum signify, in fact, the beginning of the end of either side. And I think that's simply premature. The manpower shortages have been alleviated to some degree on the part of the regime, but it's clear still that the infusion of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 additional fighters isn't enough to lay claim to the entirety of the country. There are huge swaths of Syrian territory that are, I think, permanently out of control of the central government. There are places in the country that are never going to be reclaimed. And so I think it's hard to think of a scenario whereby we can talk about Assad winning when I think these limitations, I think, are going to carry on into the foreseeable future.
So this isn't some kind of turning point?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, I could be proved wrong by events in the future, but it's hard to see how this becomes a model for reclaiming control of the entire country. Go ahead.
What do you think of the significance of Hezbollah's role in taking the town?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the reports are sketchy, so it's hard to say definitively. But there are reports that indicate that Hezbollah was, in fact, in the lead fighting role. And, of course, this isn't a traditional military. And it's, you know, I think there's been a steep learning curve for some of the Syrian army units in terms of urban warfare. And I think probably we're seeing their greater acculturation to that type of warfare paying dividends for the regime. But clearly, having Hezbollah in a sort of open, dedicated fashion engaged, not only infused new numbers into the fight, but also well-trained and disciplined fighters. And so obviously they did make a very big difference in Qusair. And I imagine they will make a difference, as has Iranian technical, logistical, and planning support. I mean, the Iranians have filled a very important advisory role for the Syrian military, and they are quite dedicated to this war. They're committed. And now that Hezbollah and Iran are sort of even more deeply engaged, we've also seen the introduction of Shia foreign fighters from other locales, including Iraq. And I imagine since the Qaradawi statements and the sort of heightened sectarian rhetoric coming from both directions, I would imagine we'll see a spike in Sunni foreign fighter flows into the country as well.
Do you think we'll also see more of a spillover into Lebanon now?
You know, it's hard to say. Lebanon has, I think, is already seeing that spillover. I think people and leaders are cognizant of how dangerous that might be. And I think despite what we see, the skirmishes in places like Tripoli, I think there's a sense of not wanting to let it get out of control. But of course, you know, that's not always a containable proposition. I think we do see spillover in Iraq. The operational tempo of Enqaeda in Iraq has picked up dramatically, and that is essentially a very porous border for men, materiel, weapons, funds, and it's clearly had a sort of catalyzing effect in terms of increasing capacity and violence on the part of AQI. And we've seen that in the much higher death tolls. And I think it's had a big impact on Iraqi politics, whether changing the calculus and mindset of the Sunni minority. I think we have seen that, and I think we've seen a real fear-based reaction on the part of Maliki and his government in terms of what the worst-case scenarios are in terms of Syria's spillover. And, of course, we see, taxing refugee flows in Jordan and Turkey. So I think spillover has been happening for quite some time. And I think, it's potentially destabilizing in all these places.
Yesterday, France and Britain said they had proof that sarin gas had been used by the regime. The U.S. still has its doubts. Do you think external intervention in Syria is any more likely now?
I don't, not in terms of a direct military intervention. If by that you mean, a traditional no-fly zone or introduction of Western American and allied military power, I think the possibility for deeper engagement with the rebels, I think, is very possible. But I still think it's unlikely that without a Security Council resolution, without a clear-cut idea of how an air campaign would tie up to events on the ground, I think it's unlikely that we're going to see that level of commitment from the West.
What hopes, if any, do you have for the Geneva 2 talks?
I don't have any immediate hopes. I think my theory of the case is that we're at a strategic stalemate, and this is something that could go on for years. I would imagine that there is going to be a political settlement to this war at some point, but I don't think that's in the near term. I think the one takeaway from Geneva will not be in terms of negotiating positions. I think it will simply be in terms of establishing a diplomatic structure that might serve us well in the future going forward. Of course, you can't stand up these structures overnight. So I think there is some utility in creating that that infrastructure to support talks and to create a format and channels of communication. But obviously, there's not going to be any kind of resolution or really any progress at Geneva if the talks happen.
Okay, Michael, good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.